Hello, and welcome to our program, Travel, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Matthew Thompson, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from AAA Magazine and USA Today here on OWL Radio. Top Hikes in the Northeast for All Ages and Abilities by Dana Laverty. In the spring, I'm a refreshing way to welcome the warmer weather. In the summer, I'm a healthy way of getting an essential exercise. In the fall, I'm a perfect opportunity to catch views of fall foliage. What am I? The answer is, you guessed it, a hike. Hiking preserves both our health and the natural environment. With all of its national and state parks, woodsy trails, and swampy lands, locals are gifted with plenty of opportunities for hikes in the Northeast. The following list includes hikes in the area that range from easy, moderate, to challenging levels of difficulty. Easy hikes in the Northeast: Alley Pond Park, Queens, New York. The second largest park in Queens has several trails that wind through forest and along ponds and a salt marsh. Saunter on the Tulip Tree Trail, which passes the Alley Park Giant, a tulip tree that might be New York City's oldest organism at between 350 and 450 years old. Dogtown in Gloucester, Massachusetts. The Conservation Park on Cape Ann in Massachusetts is what's left of a settlement from 1693, which was named Dogtown after the dogs that women kept while their husbands were fighting in the American Revolution. The park is full of dense woodland with several trails for hiking. Be sure to hike the Babson Boulder Trail to see the famous boulders with words of inspiration carved into them. A notable boulder is the Whale's Jaw, which it resembled before collapsing in 1989. And yes, dogs are welcome. Moderate hikes in the Northeast: the Appalachian Trail in Western Connecticut. More than 50 miles of the Appalachian Trail cut a scenic swath west of the Housatonic River. There are more than 10 parking sites, from Salisbury to Kent, where hikers can leave their vehicles and set out for a daily hike. See sites like the Great Falls, the Giant's Thumb Rock Formation, the Indian Rocks Outlook, and the Housatonic River, and more. If you're up for a challenge, climb Bear Mountain, the state's highest peak, at 2,326 feet. Wolf Hill Forest Preserve in Smithfield, Rhode Island. This preserve is home to a few hiking trails, a couple of lookouts, and a World War II memorial. After 30 to 40 minutes of following the World War II Memorial Trail, you'll see the memorial honoring three Army Air Corps servicemen who lost their lives in an aircraft crash on the site. On your way back, you can stop at Mercer Lookout, where you'll get a great view of the Providence skyline. If it's a clear day, you might also catch Brayton Point in Somerset, Massachusetts, Upper Narragansett Bay, and the Mount Hope Bridge in Bristol, Rhode Island. The paths can be rocky and sometimes aren't clearly marked. Bring the appropriate sneakers or hiking boots. Challenging hikes in the Northeast: Purgatory Chasm State Reservation in Sutton, Massachusetts. Glacial meltwater carved out this natural granite playground sometime during the Ice Age. The resulting 70-foot-high cliffs and craggy valley are a blast to climb, full of cleverly named rock formations like Fat Man's Misery, a Narrow Crevasse, and the Devil's Pulpit. Be careful after rainstorms. The rocks can be slippery. Dogs are welcome, but ensure that your dog is capable of the climbing that you will be doing. Ossable Chasm Adventure Trail in Keysville, New York. Ossable Chasm, known as the Grand Canyon of the East, provides the thrills you're looking for on the Family Adventure Trail. It takes you through the gorge while you're in a harness attached to a steel cable, which runs along the rock. You'll cross over the river on cable bridges, trapeze over a cargo net, and climb and brave the edge walks, giving you the illusion of danger, but while fully protected. This is a hike in the area for families and other groups of people who aren't afraid of an adrenaline-pumping challenge. Closed-toe shoes are required. Stonetown Circular in Ringwood, New Jersey. Of these hikes in the Northeast, this is the most challenging, as this 10-mile loop takes you through five mountains: Little Windbeam, Bear, Borden, and Harrison. The constant up and down is what makes this hike a serious workout. Though the steep mountainside makes you work for them, the views this hike allows you to see are spectacular. You can see the Wenake and Monksville reservoirs from the peaks of the small but mighty mountains. Visit any time from March until October for optimal hiking. "20 Things to Do in Rhode Island Under $20" by Sarah Vincelette. Looking for something fun to do without spending a fortune? The smallest state in the country has plenty of opportunities to experience, learn, eat, and shop all year long, and all for $20 and under. Here are our picks for what to do in Rhode Island for $20 or less. RISD Museum, $20. With more than 2,000 works of art currently on view, the Rhode Island School of Design Museum in Providence is the perfect place to spend an afternoon surrounded by beauty. Between the Ancient Egyptian Gallery, Ancient Greek and Roman Gallery, Asian Art Gallery, and so much more, there's something to interest everyone. Admission is free on Sundays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Thursday evenings from 5 to 8 p.m. Beavertail State Park, $3. Known for having the best sunsets in Rhode Island, Beavertail State Park in Jamestown is the place to go for a relaxing immersion into coastal nature. Learn about the area's ecosystem in the Beavertail Lighthouse Museum. Traverse the beach's rocks or watch the sun fall below the horizon from your vehicle. Baja's Cat Cafe, $6 to $12. Spend a sweet afternoon drinking tea, coffee, or hot cocoa with a treat of your choice among adoptable kitties at Baja's in Tiverton, the state's first and only cat cafe. Book a reservation beforehand or just stop by during business hours. Charlestown Seafood Festival, $12. Your favorite type of seafood is here at the annual Charlestown Seafood Festival, August 2nd to 4th. Between lobsters, clam cakes, chowder, a raw bar, and more, you'll be spoiled with choice. Also on the menu is great entertainment like live performances, rides, and fireworks to cap off a perfect day. Cliff Walk, $3. Beginning at Memorial Boulevard, Newport's beloved Cliff Walk is 3.5 miles of stunning ocean scenery paired with views of Gilded Age mansions. Open sunrise to sunset, 365 days a year. Diamond Hill Vineyards, $3. Concealed within a quiet residential neighborhood, Diamond Hill Vineyards in Cumberland truly is a hidden gem. Pack a picnic or buy from their selection of crackers and cheese before tasting a flight from their selection of fruit wines, including blueberry, blackberry, and spiced apple for $8. Of course, choose a designated driver before imbibing. Farm Fresh Indoor Farmers Market, $3. Fresh produce from local vendors line the halls of the Farm Fresh in Providence every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. year-round. But fruits and veggies are just the start. Vendors also offer baked goods, alpaca yarn, handmade soaps, made-to-order crepes, granola, cheese, and so much more. Ferry to Block Island, $20 round trip. Did you know that there is an island off the coast of Rhode Island? A leisurely 1 hour sailing on the traditional ferry from the Port of Galilee in Narragansett will take you directly to Block Island's main port, where you will have access to beaches, restaurants, bars, and shops to peruse. Frosty Drew Observatory, free. Spend a night under the stars. This campus in Charlestown is situated in one of the darkest sections of southern New England, making it the perfect place to spot hundreds of millions of stars. Bring your own telescope or use the observatories. Open every Friday, pending inclement weather. Movies at PVD Rink, $7. From May through October, you can catch a variety of family-friendly movies over at the Providence Rink, used for ice skating and bumper cars in the winter. Bring your own seating and snacks. Museum of Natural History and Planetarium, $2. Discover our natural world and all about the local geology, flora, and fauna at the Museum of Natural History and Planetarium at Roger Williams Park in Providence. It's the only natural history museum in the state. Open daily from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Newport Kite Festival, free. Experience kite flying like never before. At the Newport Kite Festival, July 8th and 9th, the sky is filled with colorful and unique kites of all sizes. Bring your own to fly. Enjoy the interactive workshops, or just bring a blanket to watch. This event is free every year, but donations are accepted to help defray costs. Northeast International Auto Show, $12. See all the newest cars, trucks, and SUVs at the Northeast International Auto Show. February 2nd to 4th, more than 250 new vehicles will fill the Rhode Island Convention Center, including top makers like Jeep, Volvo, Subaru, Ford, and Toyota. Providence Flea, free. Vintage finds, local artisans, food trucks, and more can be found at the Providence Flea, operating outside during the warm months and inside in the winter. Parking and entry are free. Open every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Roger Williams Park, free. Known as the Jewel of Providence, Roger Williams Park has 435 acres of beautiful landscapes and historic architecture. Great for a scenic picnic or just hanging around. While you're there, be sure to check out the Botanical Gardens with a $5 entry and the park's event schedule for food truck events throughout the year. State Ballet of Rhode Island, donation-based. The State Ballet of Rhode Island is the best of the best, putting on stellar performances since 1958, including classics like Coppelia and A Midsummer Night's Dream. In an effort to make the arts accessible for everyone, the studio puts on a pay-what-you-can morning performances where attendees can pay an amount that's best for them within their budget. State Beaches, $6 to $20 depending on residency and day of the week. Rhode Island is the ocean state after all, so you can choose from 8 state beaches that line the beautiful 400-mile coastline, each offering a carry-in, carry-out policy to ensure that the shoreline remains pristine and accessible to the public. As a note, entrance to the Misquamicut State Beach exceeds $20 for non-residents on the weekends. The Blue Garden, $20. Versailles in Rhode Island? This gorgeous landscape art was developed in the early 1900s on the sprawling Newport Estate, and now open to the public, serves as an idyllic panorama of tranquil pools, vibrant blooming flowers, and other native species. Guided tours available daily. The Fantastic Umbrella Factory, free. The Fantastic Umbrella Factory isn't what it sounds like. Since 1968, this gem of a property has given life to a 19th century farm with a cafe, gardens, animals, candy and jewelry shops, and more, dotting the pastoral complex. Oh, and a bamboo forest. Waterfire Providence, free. Enjoy a summer evening in downtown Providence during Waterfire. This event is actually a live art installation where 100 braziers in the winding Providence River are lit, illuminating the city and creating a magnificent spectacle. Stroll along the river, grab a snack from the numerous food trucks parked along the way, and simply enjoy. Check event schedule for dates. Visit America's national parks for free on these 6 days in 2024 by Kathleen Wong and Eve Chen. It's time to plan that visit to your dream national park destination. For a few days every year, every national park in America is free to visit, including hundreds of national monuments, seashores, historic sites, and more. Less than a quarter of them have entry fees, but those that do charge up to $20 per person or up to $35 per vehicle. Revenue from these fees stay in the National Park Service to cover visitor services, including enhancing accessibility, restoring wildlife habitat, and more. National parks are places that awaken senses, inspire curiosity, encourage reflection, and foster joy, National Park Service Director Chuck Sams said in a statement. The entrance fee-free days expand the opportunities for people to visit their national parks and experience the beauty and history of our country. There's a new addition to the entrance fee-free days next year. Juneteenth, which became recognized as a federal holiday in 2021. National Park Free Entry Days for 2024. January 15th, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. April 20th, first day of National Park Week. June 19th, Juneteenth. August 4th, Great American Outdoors Day. September 28th, National Public Lands Day. November 11th, Veterans Day. Fees for certain activities like camping and fishing will still be in place. Additionally, parks operated in partnership with outside parties may charge other types of fees. For instance, Waco Mammoth charges an access fee for its dig shelter. That park is jointly managed by the Park Service, the City of Waco, Texas, and Baylor University. Visitors can find site-specific details on park websites. Ten Tropical Destinations You Can Visit Without a U.S. Passport by Jamie Davis Smith. A trip to the tropics is one of the best family vacation ideas any time of the year, but many tropical destinations can't be accessed without a passport. And while in an ideal world, everyone in the family would have valid passports ready at any moment, that's not always possible, especially with busy work and school schedules, historically long wait times for passports, and kids needing new passports every 5 years. I have heard countless stories of people postponing or canceling family vacations because they discovered that their passports were expired or damaged. Even those with valid passports may find that they can't travel because their passports expire within 3 to 6 months, which could prevent entry in many countries. For my family, fears of delays in issuing new passports are already getting in the way of planning a tropical vacation abroad for spring break. So we're turning instead to tropical vacation spots that do not require a U.S. passport. Fortunately, there are a lot more than you might expect. Some are easier to reach than others, but it's always good to know all of your choices. Here are the best options. Hawaii. The islands of Hawaii are probably the first passport-free tropical destination that comes to mind for many families. Legendary for their beauty, rich culture, and hospitality, they're also far-flung enough from the mainland to feel like a genuine tropical vacation, despite being one of the 50 United States. That means U.S. citizens not only don't need a passport to enter, but the islands are also easy to get to, with loads of direct and nonstop flights from all across the country. Hawaii has near-perfect summer-like weather all year long, making it the perfect tropical destination any time of the year. Although there's no shortage of incredible family resorts in Hawaii, the idea of being able to have cultural experiences on site is very appealing to me because I always try to expose my family to the local culture wherever I go. In that sense, Outrigger Reef Waikiki Beach Resort in Oahu is a good choice for its immersive cultural experiences and gorgeous beachfront location. A stay at the resort includes access to a team of aunties and cultural experts ready to talk story about Hawaiian history and culture. The resort also hosts performances by local Hawaiian musicians, holds hula lessons, and offers traditional bamboo printmaking experiences. On Maui, the Wailea Beach Resort, Marriott Maui, is the place to stay if you want to be as close as possible to the island's golden sand beaches. Your family will love the resort's four distinct pools, including Hawaii's longest resort water slide. The resort also features a game room and arcade, family-friendly dining, water sports, and plenty of cultural events. On the Big Island, the Waikoloa Beach Marriott Resort and Spa is a great choice. The resort features cultural activities that have a strong focus on giving back to the residents of Hawaii. Kids will love the infinity pool, water slide, and water sports. There's also a heated children's pool for the little ones. Florida. The easiest passport-free tropical destination for most Americans to reach is sunny Florida. Much of the state has tropical weather all year long. The Sunshine State also boasts resorts that rival those found on the Caribbean islands. Key West, Marco Island, and Orlando are just a couple of Florida destinations well worth a visit. My family is partial to Orlando because it has a good mix of resorts with fantastic on-site pools and activities. Hanging out poolside is a great way to enjoy Florida's tropical weather, and we enjoy the town's amusement parks. The beaches of Key West are also a personal favorite and, much like the state, make for great family beach vacations. In Orlando, my family loves the JW Marriott Grand Lakes. The hotel's lazy river and epic water slides are the perfect complement to Florida's tropical weather. The JW Marriott Bonnet Creek is another great choice. A highlight of a stay here for my family was that my kids got to enjoy the hotel's kids camp, complete with a rooftop climbing wall, mini golf course, and playground, while I enjoyed an adult dinner and drinks. In Key West, just 90 miles from Cuba, the Havana Cabana is a fun family hotel with daily pool parties, poolside popsicles, and complimentary snacks in the lobby. This hotel has the largest pool in Key West, so there's plenty of room for everyone to splash the day away. Closed loop cruises. Many closed loop cruises don't require U.S. passports. Closed loop cruises begin and end in the same port within the United States and stay solely within the Western Hemisphere. For example, if your cruise starts and ends in Miami with a stop in the Bahamas, it is probably a closed-loop cruise. Even on a closed-loop trip, some form of government identification will be required to board the cruise ship and to go on land excursions. But it doesn't have to be a passport. For example, birth certificates for children might be acceptable. It is important to check with your cruise line before booking to make sure that you have documentation that will be accepted for your cruise. While a closed-loop cruise may seem like an attractive option, it is important to know the risks. If anyone in your family becomes sick and needs to seek medical care off the ship, or if you need to leave a cruise early, you may find yourself in big trouble and unable to respond appropriately without valid passports. This is not a risk I would take with my family, but it is an option for those with higher risk tolerance than me. Most major family cruise lines have some closed-loop routes, including Royal Caribbean and Disney Cruise Line. It's extremely important to verify both that your cruise is closed-loop and what type of documentation you need before booking if you won't have a valid passport at the time of sailing. St. Croix, U.S. Virgin Islands. Americans can access three U.S. Virgin Islands without a passport. Traveling around the USVI is easy because most residents speak English and the islands use the U.S. dollar as their official currency. And especially for East Coast families like mine, any of the U.S. Virgin Islands are easier to get to than Hawaii. St. Croix is the most far-flung USVI, and it feels like a different world. The island isn't full of large resorts, which makes it a good choice if your family prefers to get out instead of lounging at the pool every day. St. Croix is home to fantastic scuba diving and snorkeling, though plus four national parks, mangrove estuaries accessible only by kayak, sugar plantations, and a historic downtown. You might be particularly interested in visiting St. Croix for a nighttime bioluminescence tour in Salt River Bay, one of only seven full-time bioluminescent bays worldwide. Stay at the Buccaneer Beach and Golf Resort, the first hotel built and operated by a St. Croix family. A building has stood on the land since 1653, and the Buccaneer has operated as a hotel since 1922. The hotel has family cottage suites and lots of activities for kids, including complimentary water sports, a private beach stocked with games, and beach toys. It also hosts local musicians, traditional fire dancers, and Caribbean stilt walkers. St. John, U.S. Virgin Islands. St. John is also part of the U.S. Virgin Islands, and more than 60% of the island is a protected part of the National Park System. I visited St. John when my son was an infant, and I was taken aback by the island's beauty. I am anxious to return now that my children are older and can engage in more activities. Exploring the St. John National Park is a highlight of any visit. Trunk Bay is a gorgeous beach, and Trunk Bay Underwater Snorkel Trail is an easy and kid-friendly introduction to snorkeling and spotting marine life. On St. John, you can also hike through a tropical forest to the ruins of a sugar mill with a short side trail bringing you to see petroglyphs that are more than 1,000 years old. I have two recommendations for where to stay on St. John. If ocean views, a pool, and easy access to the beach are your priority, consider Morningstar Buoy House Beach Resort. If you would prefer to be immersed in St. John's Tropical National Park, book a stay at Cinnamon Bay Beach and Campground. The campground is in the heart of the park and even has simple cabins for tent-averse people like me. St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands. Just a short ferry ride from St. John is St. Thomas, which makes it simple to hit two of the three U.S. Virgin Islands on the same trip. When I took the ferry on a previous visit, the ride lasted about 20 minutes each way and was a fun part of the experience. Charlotte Amalie, the pastel-colored capital of the USVI, is on St. Thomas. It's a great place for shopping, but your family may be more interested in visiting the Pirate Treasure Museum. There are also loads of pristine beaches and plenty of opportunities for hiking, snorkeling, and kayaking there, but I would recommend staying on St. John and making a day trip of St. Thomas. That way, you get to visit two tropical islands in one without having to switch hotels. You have been listening to Travel on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Matthew Thompson saying goodbye from Owl Radio.